When I was 16 years old, my stepdad decided it was time to teach me how to use a circular saw. It was past time, actually, but an unfortunate incident involving my thumb and a band saw in eighth grade shop class had delayed things a bit. But that is a story for another day. So it was that on a sunny afternoon, we tromped down the hill from our house into the barn, set up the sawhorses, and gathered some scrap wood that I could use for practice. Mike handed me the heavy skill saw and instructed me to hold the main handle with my right hand and the forward knob with my left. And he had me move them this way and that, getting me to put them in just the right place. And then he instructed me to put my left foot forward and then back a bit, no, forward a little bit more, and then to put my right foot back. And I followed his modeling, getting all set up, trying to arrange my body that was full of excitement and nerves into just the proper configuration. And then he told me to put my right foot in again. And I did, but I was immediately off balance. And I looked up, hoping to get guidance from him. And instead, I saw him grinning. "Now you shake it all about," he explained. And only then did I realize that in addition to teaching me how to use a skill saw, he was also making me do the hokey pokey in the same moment. It was sweet and such good fun, mixing this playfulness in with the important business of teaching me a serious life skill. To this day, when I use a skill saw, I remember that joyful love. I feel it in how my body moves, and I am grateful. And as I hold on to that core memory, my mind leaps with curiosity to Joseph. Here is another stepdad who had to decide if or how he was going to get involved. We only have a few stories of how Jesus and Joseph were together as this strange and wonderful child grew up. But I imagine a scene similar to that sunny afternoon. Joseph and Jesus are both usually translated into English and into our culture as being carpenters, as that's what tends to make sense to us. But they were much more likely stonemasons. There wasn't enough lumber to build with, hardly at all in Nazareth, but there was plenty of stone. And so I can picture the scene, each holding a chisel in one hand, hammers perhaps of different sizes in their other hands, Joseph modeling how to get the right angle on the stone, how to best grip the hammer, how to swing, where Jesus should position his legs to get the right control and power, how to put his right foot in and his right foot out, and then maybe his right foot in again. What I mean is, I imagine how Joseph lived out this impossible choice that we see him grappling with today. At first it must have felt like he was being forced to make a decision where there were no good options in sight. He wasn't sure if he could trust his beloved anymore. He was very sure that staying with her would mean public scorn for both of them. He doesn't have a clear idea of just how much it will cost him to stay and choose this child, though. There will be the immediate price of fleeing with them into exile to escape King Herod's wrath. And then there will be the perhaps longer, slower cost of playing second or maybe third fiddle in the family. I mean, what would it be like to be married to the God-bearer? And then to be tasked with parenting the Messiah? Staying, choosing Mary and Jesus, this will go against all convention. And it will be a major hit to Joseph's pride and his standing in the community. There are so many reasons for Joseph to flee, for him to take off as quickly as possible and not look back. Leaving isn't a truly good option. That too would mean heartbreak. But it would be a simple choice, and in some ways, an easier one. Instead, Joseph slows down. He listens for God, he opens himself to the dream that comes, and he changes his mind. He chooses to remain. He chooses to be present. He chooses to trust. He chooses to claim Jesus as his kin. This choice begins with what we hear in this morning's gospel, but then it continues over days and weeks and years, all that time offering many chances for him to uphold this initial choice. It's a choice to show up again and again. Being kin is never about just one day, after all. This isn't just about showing up at the altar to get married or about putting Joseph's name down on the birth certificate. It doesn't matter, actually, if there's no box to check. Being kin is about every day after that, all the days we are given to live this out. At least that was my experience. There wasn't a box to check with my stepdad. There was nothing official that said that we belonged to each other. I already had a dad anyway. He just lived far away by that point. Mike, then, was someone who decided to step in, who decided that we could belong to each other. He started showing up as the requisite parent at meetings for school trips. He was in the stands when my marching band performed. He helped me learn how to fix my very old car. And he taught me how to use power tools. And he helped me to laugh. I saw some then, and I recognize even more now how much he didn't have to do that, and what it cost him to decide to be my parent. His relationship with my mom was complicated. He already had his own kids. Teenagers can sometimes take a fair bit of time and money. Mike could have kept it simple. And instead, again and again, he chose to be family. And so I wonder who God is calling us to show up for as kin. Or who might God be calling us to go deeper with? It may not be convenient or clear-cut. It may not fit what society tells us about how family is supposed to work. It may not be glamorous, and it may not help us get ahead in any particular way. Showing up for one person does not solve all the problems. It does not heal the whole broken world. And yet, one dream, one call, one person at a time. It is a gift that makes so much more life and joy possible. When we decide to be family, it is deeply good. When we offer our hearts, when we claim another soul as beloved, this kinship becomes light. It gives us a window into Jesus' life as he and Joseph find their way into being the family God is knitting together, complicated as it sometimes is. It offers us a glimpse of what God is like as the Holy One decides to be kin with all of us. And it helps us to bring the kingdom of God just a little bit closer. One bond, one decision to show up at a time.